This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
You know, when you consider the unpredictable game-changing outcomes based on unusual circumstances when you thought the result was decided, Saints-Rams, Sharks-Golden Knights, Country House Maximum Security, Rockets, Warriors, how about the Minnesota Miracle? All right, we're once again reminded that sports give us the greatest reality show ever produced, and you can script everything except the ending. But that doesn't mean you can't cash a ticket and show a profit while still being entertained. And with 9 states now offering legalized sports betting and another 37 states with bills in progress or bills that have been ratified, they're just not operational yet, you realize the demand for usable information you can avail yourselves of is growing. And oh, by the way, I buried the lead. There's 2 game sevens tomorrow. So on that note, you've come to the right place. Welcome back to another edition of Straight Out of Vegas. RJ Bell is on reconnaissance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Now, this is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas. You know, Straight Out of Vegas airs Monday through Friday right here on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Channel 83 from 3 to 4 p.m., 6 to 7 Pacific. 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern with RJ Bell, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, and Jonas Knox. And regardless of the season, know this, as RJ Bell says every day, we promise to deliver the Vegas truth to you every Saturday night. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. Before I go any further, it is 2:02 a.m. on the East Coast. That means it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here listening in Pacific Standard Time. It's always happy Mother's Day. Sleepy, I have a saying, I trust my eyes, they tell me a lot. And before we dive into the Game 7s tomorrow, I really want to make some observations and what have we learned? We're halfway through the 2019 version of the NBA playoffs, and there are a lot of takeaways, not the least of which was Uncle Drew. And I think Kyrie Irving was exposed. I know that's maybe an overused, hackneyed phrase, but be careful what you wish for. You see, because he wanted his own team. And Aaron Torres, I think, said it best earlier with Arnie. And, you know, you're not going to win a championship if Kyrie Irving is your best player. That's proven now. Kyrie Irving wanted to go to Boston to be the man, but we've learned he's not the guy. He's not the Lone Ranger. He's Tonto. He's not Johnny Carson. He's Ed McMahon. He can be a key cog in a championship run. But when Kyrie shows up, let's say he shows up in New York next year and plays for the Knicks, he'll need KD there. Kyrie, with all due respect, has been exposed. That we learned that. I thought Boston would beat Milwaukee in the playoffs. I was so wrong. Let's talk about the Bucks, by the way. We now know why. There's a reason they won 45 games by double digits in the regular season. By the way, they've already won double-digit games, but they have 7 double-digit games in the playoffs. They've got the best defense in the playoffs. They had the best defense in the regular season. They make you work for everything. They don't let you near the rim. Everything is contested. Giannis Antetokounmpo has absolutely elevated his game, and he's showing toughness, right? People don't give enough respect to Milwaukee's defense. Well, they better start now. And I will tell you, this is a team. There are 3 teams left. Toronto, Golden State, and, well, Houston's gone. But had Houston hung around, Milwaukee was 6-2 cumulatively against those teams. And, oh, by the way, save for a few minutes, the Bucks played Malcolm Brogdon at the end of the other day. Mm-hmm. They've saved him. Yep. So they've gotten him, right? This is a team. Their one lost record this year in the NBA was first. Their point differential was first. Points per game was first. And they were 7-1 in the playoffs already with a point differential of plus 113. I was heading into the game the other night. The Bucks, I'm really much, you know, I'm hoping it's a Bucks Warriors final, and I'll still pick the Warriors, but I got to tell you, the Bucks got my respect.
Yeah, they get my respect here too, Bernie. And you read off some impressive stats. One thing that you didn't have in there was the pace from last year to this year. Bernie, I don't know if you agree with me on this one, but I think they've adopted the Golden State Warrior type of way that they're playing these games mm-hmm. right now. And that's yep. what Boston really had a lot of trouble with. The fact that Boston tried to run with the Bucks, it didn't pay off any dividends for them. The game one where Boston won, lowest scoring game, I believe, in that series. But as that series went on, the Bucks just imposed their will to run up and down the court. Boston just, they didn't have the shooters. And it just turned out to be a lopsided series. But I think the Bucks and the Warriors will be the most entertaining series.
The Bucks, as I mentioned, 45 games by double digits this year. Every other team that's ever done that, it's only been six times in the history of the NBA. All other six won the title. Now, I want to get to the Rockets quickly, too, because Chris Paul, the inverse proportion of what happened last year, all we heard was that too bad the Rockets didn't have Chris Paul in Game 7. Well, this year they had Chris Paul, and ironically, it was the Warriors who were down. They lose Durant. Well, these are the observations I made about Chris Paul. And by the way, the Rockets are paying him an average of $41 million per year the next 4 years. Look, he had a pretty good game in Game 6, 27 points, 11 rebounds. But it was Game 5 where he turned back into the Chris Paul that we've come to expect. 3 of 14 from the floor. Once they consumed that 20-point deficit, and it looked like they had a chance to pull that game out when Durant went down, all of a sudden the Splash Brothers returned. It was an instant flashback to that free-flowing ball movement offense. And the Warriors showed their championship DNA. But look, Chris Paul, this is my observation. You can agree or disagree. He can no longer create his own shot off the bounce. And even when he does, he passes up a lot of shots. He's ineffective. As I said, 3 of 14 in Game 5 against Golden State. And that's the game they needed him to do it. He had another chance to create a signature moment after coming back from that 20-point deficit. You define the moment, or the moment defines you. And all I can say is, on the big stage, Chris Paul has not stepped up in a way that you would hope he would. Last year, even in Game 7 without Paul, the Rockets, they have the same affliction. They led, I believe, Golden State by 10 at the half last year in Game 7. Lost. They led by 5 in the fourth quarter this year. You get the picture. Look, even without Durant, we talked about this on Arnie's show. We believe Golden State will be a favorite of minus 140. Let's assume they play Milwaukee for purposes of this conversation. These guys they already know how to win a championship. And by the way, that's not dismissing anything Kevin Durant has done to help them get to this point. But Steph Curry, he shoots 37% with Durant on the floor. He shoots 48% without Durant on the floor. In the last 27 games, with Curry on the floor, without Durant, The Golden State Warriors are 26-1. They're 30-4 now without Durant. By the way, great home court advantage. They're still 35-13 at home, 9-2 in the playoffs. By the way, here's another stat that'll make you scratch your head. When KD scored 40 or more this year, the Warriors were only 6-7. I want to talk real quickly before we get to the two game sevens about Kawhi Leonard. All right, I'm going to make a statement. You say, Bernie, you crazy? No, I'm not. Right now, Kawhi Leonard's game, his athleticism, his physical attitude, his ability to play on both ends of the floor, he is Michael Jordan-esque. I'm not saying he is Michael Jordan. Don't get it twisted. He's Jordan-esque because he's got a counter for every counter to every counter you bring. I saw him play up close and personal here at the Thomas and Mack in Las Vegas when he played for San Diego State. He was primarily a rebounder then. He's rounded out his game. He's got a mid-range game. He can shoot threes. He can drive. He can slash. He can cut. He can defend. He's got a motor like nobody's business. I really think Kawhi Leonard is a difference maker. And that series, assuming Toronto gets by Philadelphia tomorrow, which I believe they will, that Toronto-Milwaukee series, well, it'll be interesting. I have to favor Milwaukee. Ironically, I think Philadelphia actually matches up better with the Bucks. Yeah.
I would agree with you with that, Bernie, too. I think the Embiid on the inside just makes so much of what, you know, Detroit couldn't do and Boston couldn't do. I think that makes so much of a series because Toronto's interior game is pretty weak with Gasol. I mean, it's not that good.
And speaking of Joel Embiid, it takes us to our first cut of the night. And in this cut, RJ ruminates about How do you assess the value of Joel Embiid? And when you do you base it on his performance over time or what his potential showed in the playoffs? Now, meanwhile, Brad Powers, he explains why he would rather have Joel Embiid's running mate. Let's take a listen.
I think Embiid's true worth has to be more about what he's done over 80-plus games than what he's done when he's been limited this year or in this playoff series. But you got to wonder, he does seem fragile. I mean, if you combine all the injuries, and it feels like we're heading towards, do you want to put your money on Embiid if you're the Sixers organization or with Simmons? Because it feels like almost everyone's accepted they're not supposed to be together. Their style of play, Embiid's clogging up the middle. Simmons needs the lane because he can't shoot from outside. Now, Colin today was saying, oh my gosh, everyone wants Embiid. I want Simmons. Bill Simmons and his crew are, oh my gosh, you can't even have a conversation. It's Embiid is on another level than Simmons. What do you think, Brad?
Put my foot in the ground.
Let's be clear. These are the eight final teams in the NBA.
I'd rather have Ben Simmons. His game, as far as kicking it out the shooters, is the way the game's going, not Joel Embiid having a big seven-footer down low.
Well, you could say the way the game's going is being able to shoot. I'll kick it out to shooters.
You know, they say one of the most important valuations in ability is availability. And Joel Embiid, unfortunately, with his body type, he's shown a propensity for injury, and he's still a very young man. Now, most Sixers insiders feel that while Embiid does have a higher ceiling, Ben Simmons has been the one who's been more consistent. Frankly, both of them give the Philadelphia fan base hope for a better day. But if they don't get it done in Toronto Sunday, it's not going to be pretty in the city of brotherly love. Hopefully, this tandem can stay together on the court because it can take years for harmony to become refined. But as you look ahead to this game tomorrow, Sleepy, it's really Jimmy Butler who's been the most consistent one in the second round. He's averaging 23 points a game, shooting 46% from the floor. Embiid has not looked good. Ben Simmons gave the Sixers the biggest jolt in game six. He scored 21 points on 9 of 13. It was kind of a breakout game for him. Right now, Toronto -6 tomorrow. They are -265 on the money line. And I got to tell you, I do like the home team here. We're going to talk about this game in our best bets. It's going to involve my best bet. And all I can say is this. The Raptors 5-1 at home in their last six games. And I think in game five, in their decimation of the Sixers at home, the Raptors sank 16 of their 40 shots from downtown. That's not bad. And defensively, Gasol and Ibaka, I think they're starting to do a better job of clogging the lane and protecting the paint. Because Embiid and the Sixers have dominated the painted area in game six. They scored 56 points in the paint to just 42 by Toronto. That's got to change tomorrow. I think it will.
Bernie, tell me another series that's like more Jekyll and Hyde than this.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Look at the betting lines that have come out. You know, it's within like the 6-point range to the pick 'em range. But the margin of victory for these teams, Bernie, to the spread, 7 points, 11, 21, 5, 29 and a half, 12 points. I mean, these games aren't even close. You have teams like Philly going on the road, getting wins in Toronto. Toronto beating up Philly. And it's not like they're just winning close. They're blowing each other out. So something the bettors can take tomorrow is if you don't guess at this game, because these games just haven't been close. There's really nothing that you can say. You can put your finger on and say, this is going to happen tomorrow. These lines haven't been close. So be careful with this game tomorrow.
That's right. You really have to be careful on both games. In the other game, the earlier game, Denver -5.5, -245 on the money line. Well, you know, you got to give Portland a lot of credit. And by the way, ironically, I think they potentially match up against Golden State better than Denver does. But it's going to be tough duty tomorrow in Denver. But it's not over till Damian Lillard says it's over. 32 points the other night in game six. That was huge. CJ McCollum also bounced back. He had a terrible game in game five. He comes up with 30 points. And Rodney Hood, he comes off the bench, fires 25 points with a bunch of three-pointers. Meanwhile, Denver, look, Enes Kanter's not 100% healthy. And even if he was, he's still not a bad defender. The bottom line is, Millsap, Plumlee, Jokic, that's the Nuggets front court. They've got the talent. They got the bulk. They got the depth. I think they're going to wear out Portland's interior defense tomorrow and come away with a victory. I'm not taking the points, and I'm not laying the points. Let me just put it to you this way. I think both teams get the W tomorrow, but it is game seven. So like you said, Sleepy, proceed cautiously. Great news. There's a quick and easy way you can save money. Switch to Geico. It only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com and see how much you could save. You know, it's not too soon to talk NFL. We've got some NFL futures. We're talking about teams and their odds to make the playoffs. Not win-loss totals, not winning the division, whether or not they make the playoffs. I might have a twist and turn for you, and there's one team I don't think that's going to make it. You're going to say, Bernie, are you crazy? Well, maybe not. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. It seems like we count the days until the NFL gets here, and part of the reason is the NFL's become the new hot stove league. There's always something in the news. There are always ways to get down on the NFL, and you're seeing more and more statistics. There were even individual player statistics on Kyler Murray released this week having to do with yards, passing yards, touchdowns, etc. We're not going to talk about that right now, but what we are going to talk about is one of my favorite future props, and it has to do with NFL teams and the odds to make the playoffs. Now, let's make the distinction. I'm not talking about win-loss odds. I'm not talking about over-under for wins or losses, and I'm not talking about odds to win the division, odds to win the conference or the Super Bowl. I'm talking about whether or not they make the playoffs. Here's why this is important. In 2008, when Tom Brady went down and Matt Castle took over, New England went 11-5 that year. They didn't make the playoffs. In 2010, the Seattle Seahawks, they went 7-9. They not only made the playoffs, they won a playoff game against New Orleans. They beat them up pretty good, and beast mode was born. So there are the usual suspects, right? If you want to get on the Patriots, they're 9-1. You'll lay 900 to win 100. And then, you know, there are more reasonable teams like the Rams and the Colts. The Rams are minus 350, Colts minus 250, Chargers minus 220. One that makes zero sense to me. The Browns opened even money. Money came in on them. The Browns are minus 110 to make the playoffs. To me, that's a head scratcher. Yes, I know on paper they look pretty imposing. Mm-hmm. Games aren't played on paper. As we get into July and August, I'm going to give my division by division on who I think will, you know, go over their one loss total. But and I'm not sold on the Browns yet. We'll just save that for later. I'm rooting for them. Yeah, I am. I think they're a good story, and I think they're going to be fun, very fun to watch. But don't be surprised if Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans stroll in there as 5-point underdogs in Week One and pee on their parade. All right, I'm not rooting for that. All right, talk about the 49ers. Will they make the playoffs? You've got the Shanahan factor. Right now they're minus 300. No. Yes, plus 240. They really did upgrade their talent with Bosa, Samuel, and Hurd, and they've got a bottom half schedule. I'm on the fence, but they caught my eye. Right now I'm leaning no, but not, you know, not something I'll probably fire on, but something to take a look at. Now the Buffalo Bills, this one caught my eye. They're currently plus 500 to make the playoffs. And, you know, you can grab that number. You can hedge. The Bills will be a dog in a lot of their games. And, they're, by the way, in their first three games, their schedule maker is friendly to them. They'll play teams with a cumulative record of 15-33. And five of their first eight opponents are under 500. I think the Bills had a very underrated defense last year, and they're pretty tough at home. And if Josh Allen is healthy, you know, Sleepy, I wouldn't go to sleep on the Bills. There's a chance that plus 500 could be real value.
I would probably, I'd go against that, Bernie. I would say the Bills, no. I agree with you. Defense looks good, but the offense doesn't, Bernie. And LeSean McCoy getting older, you can't rely on guys like John Brown, who's been all over the league, Zay Jones, who's never made a name for himself. I like Josh Allen, but I think at some point his legs this season may get him into trouble. And he talked about the early season schedule. Well, they have to open up their season, Bernie, at New York Jets, at New York Giants. You don't like to have a team like Buffalo who they need to get the ball rolling. They need to get the wheels turning, and they have to start out with two road games. I don't like that. I think maybe 6.5, 7 wins right now was what their team total is. Maybe 7, Bernie, 8 at best. Can they squeeze into 8? I don't think they can.
Those are all good points, and I'm not a fish better, and I will not fire on the Bills. There's better players on the board, but mm-hmm. I would say this. It did catch my eye because, mm-hmm. as you know, Sleepy, 12 teams make the playoffs every year. 6 fall back, 6 new ones come in. Mm-hmm. Who are those 6 going to be? The New York Jets have got my eye. I'm one of the people that like Adam Gase. I think he's going to do great things with Sam Darnold. Now, right now, they're -400, same division as the Bills, same division as the Patriots, +300. The Jets, I would lean towards no, but that's not an indictment. They've got to play New England twice in the first 6 games. I would assume Sam Darnold steps up, but you don't know. But I think Adam Gase will do good things with him. I would assume Le'Veon Bell helps that. I would assume he takes pressure off of Sam Darnold. But they do have a very tough schedule, the Jets do, in September and October, and that could be their undoing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bernie. Here's the thing with Darnold, and I would always say no just because I have a built-in bias for Darnold. He hurt me a lot when he was at USC, and he hurt me again last year. So
let it go.
Right. So for me, I have to let it go, and I can't just bet with that bias. So I'm going to avoid the Jets probably at all costs this season.
Jacksonville, prior to Telvin Smith's, who's not only led the team in tackles, he's had over 100 tackles his first 5 years. Very few people have ever done that. That's Hall of Fame territory. He's not going to play this year. Mm-hmm. That's a big loss, and that's a very good defense. I do like Nick Foles. I like him combined with John DeFilippo. I think Jacksonville's offense will be much improved. They're not that far removed from going into New England and almost knocking off the Pats at home. Jacks +325, yes, that's not bad value. But with Telvin Smith out, it's giving me pause.
And it certainly hurts that defense. I'm still worried about the offense, Bernie. I don't see any other playmakers, really, besides Leonard Fournette. But take a look at the roster last year. Look at all the injuries. Marquise Lee, their left tackle was banged up. Their center, right guard.
That's right. They were a mash unit.
And I have a feeling it may happen again, because with these particular players, D.D. Westbrook, Marquise Lee, it's happened year after year with these same guys. And, of course, your best player, Fournette. So we got to depend on somebody. Could we depend on Nick Foles? I'm not sure.
All right. Now, let's not bury the lead. I teased it. The Kansas City Chiefs are +400. I have already fired. No, I do not believe they'll make the playoffs. Why? I'm feeling a little saucy.
I like it.
What goes up must come down, but here's the real reason. No more Kareem Hunt. No more Spencer Ware. No more Kelvin Benjamin. No more Chris Conley. Do you really think Tyreek Hill is going to be effective this year? Gone on a defense that was already suspect. Justin Houston, D. Ford, and Eric Berry. Come on, man. And they've got the 5th most difficult schedule in the league. I'm going to say it. It's worth the value. +400. I don't think the Chiefs make the playoffs.
Bernie, how many times have we seen really good football teams assemble for like a 1 year period? And it was.
Oh, you mean like the Vince Young Dream Team with Philadelphia?
There you go. And it's like they have to win this year. Or if something bad happens, they're just not going to see, you know, the championship run maybe for like another 5 years. I think Kansas City is going to end up in some type of rebuilding mode. I really like San Diego Chargers to win the division. I'll jump ship with you, Bernie. I'm with you. I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs not to make the playoffs, which is insane.
All right. We're going to pick up on this stuff as we go along, as we get through May, June, July, and pretty soon the NFL will be here. But this is stuff you can fire on right now. And I'll tell you what else you can fire on. Mm. Here's another major, the PGA Championship. Bethpage Black tees off next Thursday. All kinds of ways to bet it. And we're going to give you some of our thoughts about that as well right around the corner. But first, let's go to the irrepressible Brian Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. After the Lakers shot and missed on several coaching hires, the franchise Saturday settled on Frank Vogel as head coach to a reported 3-year deal. His last coaching stint, well, he led the Orlando Magic to a 54-1 10 record. Yeah, that should make LA fans super proud. Meanwhile, LA brought in Jason Kidd as an assistant, and Kidd will assuredly take over once Vogel does not pan out, so expect it to be awkward between those two. Meanwhile, the Sharks pick apart the Blues 6-3 in Game 1 of the Western Conference Final. San Jose's Timo Meier had 2 goals and an assist. Logan Couture finished with 2 goals, and Joe Pavelski scored on a power play. Game 2 is Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. On the baseball front, a couple late games, the Dodgers' bullpen falls apart again, serving up a Gerardo Parra 8th-inning grand slam, and the Nats take it 5-2. Elsewhere, Derek Dietrich laces the go-ahead RBI single as the Reds best the Giants 5-4, and Wilson Contreras nails a solo shot in the 15th inning to lead the Cubs past the Brewers 2-1. And finally, in UFC 237, Jessica Andrade knocks out Rose Namajunas in the second round to take the strawweight crown from Rio. Hey, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Back to Bernie Fratto in the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Hey, Brian, real quickly. Let's say Kevin Durant does not return for the remainder of the playoffs. Do you still expect the Golden State Warriors to bring home another championship?
Well, Bernie, when I talk about Kevin Durant, I'm afraid to critique him for fear he might set up a burner account and rip me a new one. But I look at Durant as is the best player in the world, but he's not the most important player on the Warriors. I think Steph Curry drives this team. He's their brand. The team defers to him in all respects. So he's the most powerful piece to the Warriors, and he's even changing the way the game is played. So I don't believe Durant has that effect. And it's crazy to think, Bernie, but I think the best player in the universe is expendable, and the Warriors can still win the title without Durant, if that's the case, if Steph Curry remains healthy.
No, I agree with all that, and they'll be favored. Ryan Bershinger, Academy Award-winning nominee Ryan Bershinger. Check his IMDb account.
Oh, boy.
You get the same question, Ryan.
Thanks, Bernie. No, I still think the Warriors are the favorite, even without Durant. Durant's a luxury at this point, and that's why the NBA's been boring for the last couple of years. The Warriors are still going to win.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with both of you guys. I got sleepy. Before we get to this PGA tournament, I just want to say one thing. Everybody talked about, you know, the Warriors have already won, but, oh, yeah, but they had Harrison Barnes and Leandro Barbosa and Patrick McCaw, and they were younger. How come none of those guys went off to stardom anywhere else? This core, this amazing core, well,
where are they at? I mean,
well, I know that Patrick McCaw's in Toronto.
Yeah.
Keeping the
end. I don't think he
plays about as much as you and I do,
which is very little.
And I don't know what happened, but the point of the matter is those guys weren't necessarily key cogs in those championship years because this core, these Splash Brothers, these guys are for real and they're historic, but that's a conversation for later as the NBA playoffs continue. By the way, Golden State will open at home, regardless of whether it's Denver or Portland on Tuesday, and they'll be a prohibitive favorite in that series. And as we said with Arnie and Aaron about an hour ago, right now they're minus 500 to get to the NBA Finals. That's the Golden State Warriors. Before I get to the PGA tournament, which now we're not mixed up here, they switch things around. Usually you don't have the U.S. Open till June. That's the second major, and the PGA has always been the fourth major after the Open, which used to be called the British Open. So the PGA tees up next Thursday. Before I get to that, I want to share with you a gentleman by the name of James Aducci. This was reported by Todd Dewey, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Now, he was the gentleman, he was the better who won $1.19 million on Tiger Woods to win the Masters. He walked into the William Hill Sportsbook at the SLS Las Vegas Wednesday, plunked down $100,000 to win $10 million. And if Tiger wins the next three majors, I think you'll be hearing about James Aducci. He'll be collecting $10 million. Now, do I think those are great odds, 100 to 1? Not particularly.
I'm going to have to send him a friend request on Facebook if I can track
him. Your new BFF, yeah.
Sure.
All right, well, let's see how that's a develop. But listen, so the 101st edition of the PGA Championship gets underway this Thursday. The top players, they descend on Bethpage Black. It's a golf course in Long Island. It's the second major on the PGA schedule, and there are a lot of storylines that are really start to unfold. Now, let's say Jordan Spieth wins this, right? He would join elite company as just the sixth player to ever win golf's career Grand Slam. Is there value there? Well, right now he's 30 to 1, but he's proven He's got what it takes to compete at the highest level. How did I not mention Tiger Woods? He's the favorite. He's 8-1. He's coming off a historic victory at the Masters. He's gunning for a second consecutive major, fifth Wanamaker Trophy. Again, the favorite at 18-1 in the current PGA Championship 2019 odds. I think that'll change after day one. It could change before day one. He's not getting any of my money, Sleepy.
I'm not surprised that Tiger Woods is a favorite right now, Bernie. Obviously, you know, I gave him out on Straight Out of Vegas to go ahead and take him in the Masters. A lot of people cashed their tickets there. But, Bernie, I don't think I can make a stronger argument for many other things to say that this could be one of the biggest decompressions after a win. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tiger Woods has been waiting for how long, Bernie? I mean, there has
11 years.
It has to be a letdown. I can't think of anything for a reason to not take Tiger Woods to bet against him. I he's not going to win this one. I just don't.
I give
it.
Tiger top credit for pulling the Masters out. Mm-hmm. I think the stars had to align. We talked about that win in that storm that came in. I think that favored him. By the way, he's paired up with Francesco Molinari and Brooks Koepka.
I saw that.
That's going to be pretty cool. And speaking of those guys, this is a star-studded field. You've got Brooks Koepka, I just mentioned. He won it last year. He's 10-1. Justin Thomas is 16-1. Jason Day is 25-1. All of those guys are going to be hot on Tiger Woods' tail. Now, you know, there are various models out there, and they've nailed a lot of majors. You just don't know what's going to happen, right? Last year, Tiger Woods had a pretty good run at the PGA. He was a 25-1 long shot. Now, Sleepy, you're a good numbers math guy. Can you really warrant Tiger going from 25-1 to 8-1 just because he won the Masters?
No, that's the books taking some serious protection.
So you've got a situation, Woods coming off one of the most historic victories in recent memory. That was his 15th major. First green jacket, by the way, since 2005. First major since the 2008 Open. Look, there's some other guys you really can't take your eyes off of. John Rahm, he's always a wild card. He's a surprise. He's an 18-1 long shot. He could make a strong run. I think he has a better chance than his odds imply. I think Rahm's a better shot at 18-1 than Tiger is at 8-1. And so you get yourself a nice payday if you back him. He's only 24, but he hasn't missed a cut in 2 years, and he has 8 top 10 finishes during that span. He's fresh off a victory at the Zurich Classic. He's been on the top of every leaderboard. He ranks top 20 in scoring average, birdie average, holes per eagle. He's the guy I might put a little money on, John Rahm. Obviously, we haven't even got to some of the longer odd guys. Patrick Reed, 40-1. Phil Mickelson, 50-1. Adam Scott, 50-1. Francesco Molinari, 20-1. This is a star-studded field, Sleepy.
Where's Tony Finau on that list? And
he's 30-1.
Is he 30-1?
30-1, yeah. There's another good name.
I'll tell you the guy that I saw last tournament, though, in the Masters, Bernie, that had that killer instinct. He had that look on his face just like Tiger, and it was Koepka. And he was, what, 8-1?
Yep.
I'm gonna play him. I'm not going to play Tiger. I'm going to play him. I really like the way he looked last time.
Other guys we haven't even mentioned. Rory McIlroy, 12-1. And you got to believe he's going to bounce back after that embarrassment at the Masters. Justin Rose, 18-1, right there with John Rahm. Tommy Fleetwood, 25-1. It's amazing how good the field is. Matt Kuchar, who was 40-1, same as he was at the Masters, he made a charge on day four.
Bernie, Tiger's won here once before. I don't remember what year it was, but he's won here.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he has.
Do you think that could be factored in the line, the fact that he went from 25-1 to 8-1?
I think what's factored in is the way that Beth played. What I'm told is that Beth Page Black has been set up to play like a U.S. Open course. It's going to favor the smart player. Mm-hmm. Fairways and greens. Now, Tiger wasn't great on that in the Masters. He was scrambling. But I think he's much more cautious now, and he plays the course much more strategically and surgically, and he is a shot maker, and if his putting is there, he could be a factor. He's just not going to get any of my money.
He did say when they had the final interview that he plotted his way around the Masters, especially the last day.
He did.
So what you're saying, actually, you know, if he takes that approach here, maybe he could be trouble again, but I just don't think that, you know, I think he'll decompress
it. There's a lot of talent in this field, boys, so it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's great that we have another major this soon after we just had the one a month ago. And good luck to James Aducci, boy. And props to William Hill for having the cojones after dropping that million and creating a new millionaire in America for going back for seconds, if you get my drift. Mm-hmm. I want to remind you that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Discover alerts you if they find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. We still got to talk about Kyrie Irving and where he might end up next year. And I want to give an homage to the Golden State Warriors, who showed a lot of guts. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas. We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto. Come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And coming up in about 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 53 seconds or something like that, our best bets. A couple good ones this week. Before we get to that, though, I thought the guys had a particularly good perspective on Kyrie Irving. And first things first, it is a foregone conclusion that Kyrie Irving leaves Boston. And RJ explains this as he runs down the list of possible destinations for the man known as Uncle Drew. Let's give it a listen.
Let's quantify the chance of Kyrie coming back. Right now there's odds on this. It's the beauty of Straight Outta Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. We'll give you the odds. Nets plus 250, the favorite for Kyrie next year. Knicks plus 300. Boston plus 350, third favorite. But you do the math, you take out the VIG, about a 20% chance Kyrie's back at Boston. 80% chance that this is the last game for Kyrie in the green uniform. Lakers, 7.5 to 1. Clippers, 10 to 1. So the two New York teams favored to get Kyrie, Boston, then the two L.A. teams.
Looks like the odds are against Kyrie remaining a Celtic, although my moles tell me Danny Ainge wants him back. But it also looks like, if you trust the odds, all the major market teams are on the docket. Any way you slice it, I think Kyrie learned something about himself this season, and we all learned something about Kyrie. My two cents, he will not be rejoining LeBron in Los Angeles. He will not be a Clipper. I trust Rob Parker. We have a 25-year history. We did 200 shows together in Detroit. Rob is sharp. He's got great moles, and he doesn't talk just to talk. I believe Kyrie will be a Knick. Now, I want to give an homage to the Warriors, okay, because heavy is the head who wears the crown. You have to give credit to the Warriors because they wear the crown well. And RJ tips his cap to the dynamic that exists when you think the world is out to get you and when you face adversity. Meanwhile, Brad Powers, he points out the Warriors have really shown well when it comes to proving it's not what happens to you in life, it's how you react. Let's take a listen.
Golden State's got guts, because if there's any time during this run where you got this Houston team that's been stalking you, I mean, you got Daryl Morey, who is a, you know, genius, borderline genius of basketball, saying our only goal, what I spend my days thinking about, is how to beat Golden State. And then in game five, you lose your best player with 14 minutes left in the game, and it's almost a tie game. It's a tie game going into the fourth quarter. That's gutsy. So let's take a second with that. Any thoughts? Anyone got any feelings about it?
No, I think Golden State showed obviously a heart of a champion there. How many times do we see this when a key player gets hurt and the air out of the entire arena goes out of the air goes out of the balloon? That wasn't the case with Golden State. They rallied. Stepped up to the plate. Obviously, Draymond did. Kudos to them. I mean, if I was a fan of the Warriors, and I'm not, I'd feel better about my team, what I've been witnessing the last 4 or 5 years, than at any point during this run right now.
There's a reason the Warriors have won 76% of their games in the last 5 years. To equate that to a Major League Baseball team, that would be like averaging 123 wins per season. Sure, they've got Hall of Famers. But they've got chemistry. They've got defensive chemistry. They've got awareness, leadership, and they still play hungry as if they've got something to prove. When Kevin Durant went out last Wednesday at the end of the third quarter, their muscle memory kicked in, and the Splash Brothers came through when it mattered most. The ball movement, the offensive flow, the cohesion. I'm not saying they're better off without KD, but the results have been the same. Yes, their win percentage is the same with or without Kevin Durant. That's saying something, in case you missed it. In the final 5 minutes Friday night at Houston, Curry, by himself, 16 points. The Rockets, 16 points. Curry, 8 for 8 from the charity stripe. The Rockets didn't even have a single free throw. By the way, on the evening, the Warriors bench, 33 points. Yeah, I think they're going to win it again, barring something goofy. Let's get to everybody's favorite part of the show, best bets, and let's start with Sleepy. You've been hot, my man.
Yeah, Bernie, last week, got to go ahead and redeem myself here. Game 7 tomorrow, 76ers at the Raptors. I'm taking 76ers, Bernie, to win the game outright, plus 220 on the money line. $100 will win you 220 if Philly wins. I think they will. Bernie, I'm going to go ahead and just ask you this question. Which player for Toronto needs to have the big game tomorrow?
Well, it's got to be Kawhi Leonard.
Which player for Philadelphia has to have...
Joel Embiid.
What about Jimmy Butler?
Well, Butler's already been pretty solid.
And Simmons. So I think I have a couple other guys that can come up with a big game that could help Philly along. I like Philly.
Okay, sounds good. I'm in the same game, but I like the under at 209. Since 2003, in the current playoff format, Game 7's conference semifinals, 72% to the under. The Raptors have gone 9 straight unders before their last two games. And by the way, the first team to 102 wins this game. Jump on the under. I want to thank my broadcast team in L.A., Ryan Bershinger, Brian Finley, Chris Perfett. You do a great job turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. And let's not forget, we take a full week to put this show together, and I want to thank Ryan Bershinger. I call him, I text him, he responds immediately. Whatever I need, he comes through with it. Tip of the cap to all you guys, but Ryan, I'm always bugging you during the week, and I really appreciate it. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Outta Vegas. Don't go anywhere. The man from Opryland, that would be Jason Martin.
Straight Outta Vegas!